What I would like to speak about this evening is what we just prayed for a few minutes ago. Divine physical healing. It's a doctrine of the Church of God. It's a doctrine of the Bible. And it is available to us. The Lord made a way for us to have that. I try to make a practice of whenever I'm asked to pray for someone at the altar who has requested to be anointed, and they're seeking healing for their body, I realize that there's nothing that you or I can bring to lay on that altar to procure our healing. There's nothing that we can lay there to buy healing for our bodies. Anything that you or I could conjure up in our spirit, words, that won't buy healing for you and me. The oil that we use to anoint, there's no healing power in that oil. There's nothing in that oil that provides healing. That is only a part of following the commandment that is laid down in the Word. That's part of what the Word says for us to do in order to claim divine physical healing. It says to anoint with oil, pray for the sick, and they shall recover. I'm thinking this evening of the plan of salvation, of all the things that the Lord provided for us whenever He, as He hung there on that cross, and when He said those words, "It is finished." Those three words that He said, "It is finished," mean a lot. What He said in those three words was that the entire plan that God had for humankind was finished. And now it's all to come to pass. In John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, this is a verse that we've often heard. Brother Kenneth Abbott, I've often heard him quote this verse. And this is a very valuable verse to us. It says, John 14 and 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," these are the words of our Lord Jesus, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, I don't believe that this means that you or I, who have come after the Lord and we believe on Him, I don't believe that this means that you or I will be able to do works or miracles any greater than the Lord Jesus was able to do Himself while He was here. We can't do anything greater than He did. It's not within me. God did not give me the authority nor the power to die for a soul. Gave that to Jesus. But when we think of the plan of salvation and how it was spread, the gospel was spread through humans in the time after Jesus' crucifixion, how it spread rapidly like wildfire, it caught on, the multitudes of miracles that were done is, I believe, what the Lord was speaking about here, that the works would increase in number. They would be increased in number. Not in the actual greater miracles, but the number would be increased. Yes. And I also realized that there was a time that after the Lord was ascended back to the Father and that He had commissioned the power to His apostles and all that would follow after Him, that there was a time there with Paul and Peter and those who had mighty power with Him, mighty power to heal Peter had the power was given that his shadow, if his shadow passed on someone, they would be healed. One place is Peter, and I can't remember the other who was there, and they said to the man, the cripple, look on us. I believe it was Peter and John. Look on us, he said. Look on us. He said, I don't have silver and gold to give you, but what I do have, that I give you. And he said, rise up and walk. And he did rise up and walk. That's a testimony that we have in the Word of God, in the Bible, of healing. Now, there was a time, probably some 250 years or so after Jesus was crucified, that the church sank into an apostasy. And largely the miracles that were seen through the apostles and through Jesus Christ, they diminished greatly in number. You didn't see it. It didn't happen. You didn't see it. Very seldom did you see it. In fact, I don't know that there's much recorded about that time. I don't have that available to me on the miracles that were done in that time, but I know that there was still a church. And I don't believe that the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus, was diminished any during that time period. Nor has it diminished from the time that Jesus hung on that cross and said, it is finished. That the plan, the complete plan of salvation has not been diminished through time and the ages up until this day today. That we, as we anointed Sister Hassie this evening, asking the Lord Jesus to intercede to the Father for healing for her body. Because He died for that. He made that sacrifice for that. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, this is very familiar scriptures. I don't have anything new, but this is what I testify to you that the Lord gave me as I was seeking Him, asking Him what He would have for the service tonight. Part of this was quoted this morning. Isaiah 53 and 4 and 5. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And it looked that way. It looked that way. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. This is a prophecy relating to Jesus Christ, our Savior, relating to the prophecy of a part of the complete atonement that was finished when Jesus said those three words, it is finished. As part of what Jesus died for, when He hung there on that cross, it was not only for the salvation of the soul, it was also to provide a means of healing for the body. I'm convinced of that. I believe the Bible bears that out. I believe that in my soul. God has made me to understand that the plan, the complete plan of salvation is for the healing of the soul and the mind and the body. It makes a change. It makes a difference. Now, in Matthew now, the 27th chapter, think of the things that Jesus suffered as He went before the time of His crucifixion. He suffered ridicule. He suffered mockery. He was accused of blasphemy. He wore a crown of thorns on His head. It was forced upon Him in mockery. Yes. He was beaten. He was scourged. The scourge that they used on the Lord had pieces of metal woven into it. And the individual who was to be scourged before the crucifixion, there were various postures that they were in, but the most popular that I'm aware of was that their hands were stretched above their head, high above their heads. as such, and that they were pulled. And as they were pulled, the flesh was pulled tight on their back, and their feet barely were touching the ground where they were on their tiptoes. Their body was stretched with the skin pulled tight from head to toe. And then the lashes were administered. And think of our Lord and Savior as He was in that position, as He was in that posture. This is Jesus Christ, the Savior, that came down from heaven to make available to you and me the salvation experience, the complete atonement, as He stood there before the people who were looking on, as He stood there, stretched out as He was, with His hands way up over His head, the flesh pulled tight across His back, and then the lashings come. One after the other, the lashings come. And then the blood starts to come out of those wounds as they were opened up on Jesus' back. With His stripes, we are healed. Now, He bore that pain and suffering. He bore the physical pain of that. Not only did He bear the physical pain of that, but the emotional pain of, why are they doing this to me? What did I do to deserve that? He could have called 10,000 angels. They were at His beck and call. He could have called the 10,000 angels to come down and turn the whole thing around, but He didn't do that. He did not shrink from it. The closest that He came to shrinking away from that was He was in the garden praying, and His sweat was His great drops of blood. And He said, Father, if it be possible, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Matthew 27. Verse 33 and 34. When they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. Thank the Lord for this scripture right here. Jesus was facing the most severe pain that a human could face at the time. He was facing crucifixion. He was facing the punishment of death. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This mixture that was offered to Him was a sedative. It was meant to stupefy the victim, to decrease the suffering that they would endure as they were punished, as they were hung on the cross. Jesus didn't take of that. Now think of what is happening here. Jesus, when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. He would not have that. Jesus went all the way. From the very beginning, all the way until the very end, in full consciousness, fully aware of what lie ahead for Him, He did not shrink back. He could have taken that. That would have been a sedative to Him. But rather than take that, He tasted of it, knew what it was, and said, I don't want this, because this would change the whole situation to me. At me. Looking on this scene, if it had said to here that they gave Him vinegar, drink mingled with gall, and when He had tasted thereof, He drank it all. That would change the whole picture to me, because this tells me that the Lord was willing to take what was coming His way. He did not take the sedative. He did not take that thing which would have decreased His pain. It would have devalued to me the atonement. It would have devalued it to me. It would have made it of less value to me, because I would have seen that and said, my Lord and Savior, when He was facing the very utmost of pain and suffering, stumbled a little bit and took something to lessen the pain. But He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He went all the way to that cross. And he hung there on that cross, fully conscious of what was being done to him, feeling every pain that went through his body as he hung there with those spikes driven through his feet and those spikes driven through his hands, drawing for every breath. Have you ever felt that place here or here? Most likely it was in this area where the spikes were driven. If you ever have, just take the opportunity to squeeze hard in here. There's a pressure point right in here. And when that pressure point is when you hit that point, it sends pain throughout your arm, throughout your body. Those same things are in your feet. And as he hung there with the weight on those points, he had to push with his feet to get his breath, to take the pressure off of his arms, to try to get a little relief there. But as he did that, the pain was so intense in his feet that he couldn't, the pain was so strong in the feet that he had to drop again. And then there's the pain again in the arms. That's what our Lord went through as he hung on that cross. And he did that with the full knowledge, the full effects of the nervous system as you and I have it in full working order. He felt every bit of the pain. Now, I am of the opinion that as the Bible bears out, to deny divine physical healing, to deny that part of the atonement that the Lord made for us is to, in effect, trample on the blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. Jesus died for the full atonement. He said it is finished. And he didn't mean my life is finished. He didn't mean that I'm about to die. What he meant was, my plan, God's plan, is finished. Right here. Draw the line. The whole thing has now been fulfilled. It's all been fulfilled. Now, I had a message not long ago here about the letter and the spirit, and how that the letter of the law was death, but the spirit of the law, or the spirit, is life. Now, it is possible for someone to be in the bed of affliction and to come down to the end of their days without turning to the arm of flesh in any way whatsoever, because they knew that what the Bible standard was concerning divine physical healing, and they had the letter of it in their minds. It was here. They had the head knowledge of it. And in order to save face, just in order to save face, or to appear to be in good standing with the people of God, they would deny the things of the medical profession that would have helped them. And I cannot deny that the medical profession is able to help. I'm not foolish enough to say that. I know that the medical profession does many wonderful things. There are men that are very intelligent. When they can take the heart out of a human being and do their bypass surgeries and put that heart back in the human being and him come out of there and walk again and lead a normal lifestyle, that's a wonderful work. And I don't deny that they are able to do those things. And I know that they have ability. And I don't diminish that. But what I also don't diminish is the power of the blood of Jesus. My words to you tonight are that there is power in the blood of Jesus. and that blood, the atonement that was made that day, is still the same today as it was when Jesus was on this earth. It is still the same today as it was when the apostles walked this earth. It is still the same. The miracles, you may not see, we may not see the outward manifestation of the miracles, but I tell you that there are times that I don't know what's wrong with my body. There have been many times that I have suffered pain for whatever reason it was, I don't know. But I go to my Lord and I ask Him to help my body, to touch me, to heal me, and He does that. What was wrong with me? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what was wrong with me. And concerning the scripture that we read, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to the Father, that's a challenge to me. That's a very big challenge to me. That tells me that I need to be in a place where the Lord can bestow upon me the gifts of healing, the gifts that He has available to His people. I need to get myself in a place where I can receive the gifts. We need that. We need to see the manifestation of the gifts. And the reasons that we don't see the manifestations of the gifts is very likely because some of us, myself included, are not in the place where that gift can be bestowed upon us to where we can lay hands on the sick, pray the prayer of faith, and they shall recover. We have many books printed. Many incidents printed in books from the Faith Publishing House that tell the mighty miracles of healing that were done. And I believe that those were miracles of healing. And I believe that that's available to us today. I believe that the blood of Jesus is still just as strong today as it ever was. Divine physical healing is not the nucleus for our salvation. Divine physical healing is not the foundation of salvation. So many times people will get it confused and they'll say, but if you go there, you have to lay everything else down. Well, this is what I say. If we accept the full atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ, if we accept the full plan of salvation as it was when He said it is finished, the plan that Jesus brought and died to leave with us, if we accept that full plan of salvation, then it will become necessary. It will be necessary for us in the process of time to embrace the plan that Jesus died for, and it will be necessary for us to get a vision of that and to see that and to apply that and to practice it in our lives. Again, I say, it is not the nucleus. It is not the foundation of our salvation. The nucleus and the foundation of this plan is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the foundation for it. That's the nucleus of it. Divine physical healing is a pillar. It's one of the pillars of the Church of God. But it's not to be counted lightly. When I think of how Jesus loved me enough to suffer the things that He suffered for me, and when I think of where I was and the lifestyle, the way that my life was going when He crossed my path, when I think of the direction that I was taking when He knocked on my heart's door, it brings me to tears to realize, when I sit and think about and I meditate on the things that Jesus did for me, the suffering that He endured for me in order that I might be saved, when I sit down and think of those things, I cry. I weep. It tears me up to know that one loved me so much. Here is one that could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the whole world and set him free.
But he loved me enough, and he loved you enough to hang there and suffer all that pain and misery that I might be saved. He was willing to leave the splendor of heaven so that I could have salvation. Oh, it makes me weak. It makes me want to crawl on my belly. It makes me want to get under something. I don't even feel like I'm worthy to stand in the presence of God. And I'm not in my own self. It's only through the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If He had not been willing to drink that bitter cup and to go all the way, where would we be today? Where would you be today? Would we have the privilege of coming to the Lord? Would we have the privilege of asking God for divine physical healing if Jesus had shrunk back from the cross that day? Would we be able to say the blood of Jesus cleanseth? Would we be able to say that? The blood, the songs that we sing, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Could we sing those songs? Because of the power that was given to him of the Father, he did the will of his Father. When we pray, I make it a practice of praying. When we're praying for healing, Lord, only by your blood and the stripes that you bore. Scripture says, with his stripes we're healed. That's all I have. That's all I have to bring to the Lord. I fully acknowledge your plan. I understand that you died for it. I understand that you paid the price. And that's all that I bring to you now, is that I accept what you've made available to me. And my faith ascends to you. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, I pray. Amen.